877-381-3811.
Well, I asked my buddy to give me a hand here, John Lott. His book, At the Brink, Will Obama Push Us Over the Edge? The answer is yes. John Lott, how are you, my friend?
Doing great. Good to talk to you again, Mark.
Well, you know, John, all this touchy-feely, good-feeling stuff, looks like Pat Toomey and Joe Manchin have come up with a really unique idea, which is, I'm being sarcastic, universal background checks. And, of course, that'll never lead to a database, unlike healthcare that has a database, the IRS that has a database, all kinds of data being kept on the American people. But that aside, not only wouldn't this have stopped the mass killer in Connecticut who stole the weapons from his mother and murdered her and then went on to slaughter all those other people, but what is it about liberals and some Republicans and the media in this country that think that people are going to put themselves through a process and expose themselves in advance? Wouldn't logic 101 tell you that's not going to happen?
Look, my own belief is the reason why at least many people push this is they just want to make it costly for people to have guns. I've kind of come to this kind of conclusion slowly. It's not something that I embrace, but if you look at all the laws that have been put forward at the state level that have been passed from Colorado to Maryland to New York, they're basically taxes and fees that they're trying to impose on people who are buying guns. And these background checks are just another way of trying to make it costly, because who's paying for it? The people who are going to be going through and buying the guns are paying for it. If the proponents of this believe that this is going to help people generally, lower crime, not just against people who are buying guns, but lower crime for everyone, it seems like it's something that everybody should pay for then. If anything, I would argue the people who are buying guns are producing benefits for others. The fact that some people own guns and homes in a community, since the criminals don't know who might be able to protect themselves, makes it riskier for them to go and attack anybody there. We should be subsidizing those people rather than effectively taxing them for getting the guns. I think it's just one additional way that they just want to make it costly for people to own guns. And, you know, you look at the evidence. I mean, I wish there was a magic bullet here to go and stop criminals from getting guns. I mean, it'd be great. Everybody wants to try to stop criminals from getting guns. I think, unfortunately, the president has been allowed to keep on repeating false claims about what background checks have been doing previously, and the discussion never gets around to the fact that while these laws may have some supposed benefits here, they also have real costs, and we never get to talk about that much except on your show and a few other places.
I want to ask you this, too. I keep hearing people say, you know, we really have to keep guns out of the hands of the mentally ill. You know, I've been around long enough. I see how people twist words. I see how they twist very plain English words, like in the Constitution. And I think to myself, what do they mean mentally ill? You know, it could be somebody who went to a psychiatrist because they were depressed for 3 months. I mean, they never define what they mean. Is this being adjudicated somewhere? And then I got to thinking at the break, and I mentioned it to Mr. Producer, Mr. Kalsgruner. You know, there are people who can function in society, and maybe they need to protect themselves against predators and criminals, too.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of the mentally ill can be people who are victims of violence or people. Look, in the Toomey Manchin thing, I mean, we haven't exactly seen the exact wording of the bill. I've just seen descriptions put out by their office.
Yeah, bye-bye. Let me tell you this, John Lott. It is Eastern Time, about 6:40 p.m. They're voting on a cloture at 11 a.m. tomorrow. So unless all of us stay up till 3 in the morning, I don't think we're going to know what the hell they're voting on.
No, I mean, I agree.
And I'm fed up with that, too.
I agree. But even in their description of it, though, part of what's going to be going on is doctors are going to be able to go who have, you know, be treated for depression or other things are going to hand over information to the National Instant Background Check System. And it's not 100% clear to me, unless I read the actual language there, what the government's going to do with that information. But the HIPAA provisions are essentially going to be overwritten so that that type of information is going to be handed over to the government for these background checks. I assume the only thing that they're going to do with it is say that if you have been treated for depression or for these other things, which are not, as you say, defined very well, then they're going to be able to prohibit you somehow from buying guns. But I guess we'll have to find out when we read the fine print exactly what they're going to do with it.
Well, you know, it's interesting to me, if that's true, depending on the definitions of what it means to be mental. I mean, if somebody is adjudicated a dangerous person, or I get that, but
right.
there's a whole area of ambiguity, just a whole area of ambiguity. You can label say, oh, they're mentally ill. The fact of the matter is, these people are going to become incredibly vulnerable because everybody's going to know they don't have any weapons.
Right. No.
So, I mean, we don't think these things through.
No. Look, one of the things that I run into constantly when I do debates or others, I often ask my opponents, would you put a sign up in front of your home that said your home is a gun-free zone? No one will do that for understandable reasons. But yet, obviously, as you say, if we label somebody, if it's known that somebody may be treated for mental illness and just depression possibly, if it comes to that, then we're putting a label on them. They will be a victim. They will be somebody that criminals could know that they could attack with impunity relative to maybe some other home that they could go and break into.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just find the fact, and it's not just the Second Amendment, that the Bill of Rights is up for grabs, and that, you know, if you can get it, muster a majority or a supermajority together in one body or the other, and with the president haranguing and pushing and so forth, that these liberties, you know, they're just so easily reduced. It's the whole damn thing. It shows me a society that's collapsing.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, the really sad thing is people are rushing to do something that they think will help, but unfortunately, they may be making things much worse. I mean, we have so many problems with the current background check system. They never get talked about. The president and others on that side are unwilling to even talk about trying to fix the huge problems that we have in denying law-abiding citizens falsely the ability to go and buy weapons when they need them. So you have the background check system. We're having over 95%. We don't even know precisely because the annual reports are vague, but over 95% of these initial denials are false positives. You know, you know, the thing is, for most of those people, that may simply be an inconvenience. I understand that. But when you're talking about large numbers, like the president talks about, with 2 million people who have been initially denied, though he calls it prohibited people prevented, which is really amazingly different, you're talking about a significant but small number of people who really need to get a gun quickly for self-defense. And what happens to those people when they aren't able to, when they're being stalked or threatened? And because of a desire to, quote, do good things, we're disarming them and making it so that they can't protect themselves.
Exactly. And I think the bottom line is, what laws like these that they're discussing generally, we don't know the specifics, what they do is they insulate the criminals and they reduce the protection of the innocent. And that's what they do. And I'm just disgusted with it. John, we've been in these battles for decades. And I look at what's going on, and I see Republicans negotiating, Republicans trying to come up with deals, Republicans going to kill the filibuster efforts and everything else. And I think of, there's tens of millions of, we're just so damn frustrated by all this.
Well, you know, I think they use that against us. They're in this for the long run. I mean, I see if they can make it costly for people to own guns, you'll reduce the number of people with guns, and then the next time they come back, it'll be a little bit easier for them to go and push for additional regulations. You know, Massachusetts has become kind of the touchstone for what gun reformers want to accomplish. Massachusetts is amazing. When they started the licensing and registration system back in 1998, at that time, there were over 1.5 million licensed gun owners in Massachusetts. Today, because of those regulations, they're down to just over 200,000. That's an 86% drop in the number of legal gun owners in Massachusetts in just 13 years. And, you know, you look at what's happened to crime rates in Massachusetts. When the regulations first went into effect, Massachusetts' murder rate was 30% below the average of its neighbors. Now it's over 30% above the average of its neighbors. There's, you know, basically there's no trend prior to the licensing and registration rules going into effect, and then it started to shoot up after that. And, you know, it's just one of these things, again, they pass these laws, and who obeys the laws? It's the law-abiding good citizens who are putting at risk. And I'll tell you, the thing that really angers me a lot about these types of taxes and fees that they're putting here is who are the most vulnerable people in our society? It's basically poor blacks who live in high-crime urban areas who are the most likely victims of violent crime. These are the people, if my research convinces me of anything, these are the people who need guns the most for protection. It'd be great if police were around all the time. I think police have a
Yes. I get it, John, and we've talked about it. But these are also the areas of the country that vote 95% for Obama, 95% Democrat, and disarm themselves.
Well, they should see that these people don't care about them. I mean, how, you know, they're offering police then to protect them when they disarm these individuals that are there? I mean, I can't tell you. I mean, I've been giving a number of talks recently, and I've had in major cities, and I've had a number of people who are blacks who live in these high-crime urban areas who are very upset about some of these changes that are going on. And I hope people are beginning to realize, look, who owns guns in Washington, D.C.? Who's registered handguns there? It's basically wealthy whites. The Washington Post said that it costs, according to the Washington Post, costs $534 to go through the licensing and registration fees for a handgun there. You look at Chicago, it costs
$100. But what I'm trying to tell you, John, is who votes for that mayor?
No, I understand.
All right, who votes for the city council? My problem is this. If people in these local communities want to vote for criminals and vote to disarm themselves, that's the way the system works. What I reject is when the federal government, in violation of the Bill of Rights,
right,
the Second Amendment in specific, is trying to impose that mentality on all the rest of us. If people want to disarm themselves through their politicians, that's their damn problem. But I choose not to, and they're trying to get their politicians to do that to me and tens of millions of the rest of us.
No, I mean, I agree. And you know, I'm glad your show's out there to educate people on this type of stuff. But
well, listen, let me tell you something. You are the you're the wise man of the Second Amendment. There's absolutely no question about it, John Locke. And see, I even called you John Locke right there. Did you notice that? Well, that's pretty good.
Right. Well,
but anyway,
the Freudian slip there.
Listen, it's an honor to call you my friend and an absolute pleasure. God bless you, my friend.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you being out there.
All right. It's John Lott. The book is At the Brink. Will Obama Push Us Over the Edge? He didn't come on to hawk his book. I asked him to come on. But really, that's my attitude. Folks, you want to vote for politicians?